So last week we kind of, I started with the idea of the consequences of sin. We did some looking at that and everything. Hell is the eternal consequence of sin in Israel, Matthew 25, 41, 40, and 46. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And then verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And a lot of times you hear people will make the argument that hell is not real, that it is not a place that God has set aside for people to go for eternal punishment. This verse 46, you could make the argument that if eternal punishment is not real, then eternal life would be not real as well. It's in the same sentence, the same idea, the same thought, Christ talking and stuff like that. Here we just have it being indicated that there's eternal punishment and eternal life. Any thoughts, any comments? John?
I wish I had thought of it earlier because then I could have researched, but I didn't. Maybe someone has an answer. I thought in the scriptures it said hell was prepared for the angels, the fallen angels, and that God prepared hell for them. Does that mean that God didn't prepare hell for people, and it's there, and he will send us there if we have sin in our life?
So what's your thought again?
The question was, God did prepare hell. I mean, it does say in Scripture that, it was prepared for the angels, the fallen angels. And I guess we'll be there with them when the time comes.
Right.
So, I mean, you were saying that people say that they don't believe there's a hell, but there is. I mean, it was prepared for the angels if you don't believe Scripture.
Right.
It says it is there.
Right.
And,
right. Just some people believe that if one is not found, let's just say, to be righteous, then at death or at judgment, they just go into a non-existence. They just basically kind of cease. I know that some do believe that, but anyway. Any other thoughts? Okay, so tonight we were going to get into the idea of the origin of sin. And I guess when you think of the origin of sin, first sin what?
Adam and Eve.
That's kind of what you think of. Adam and Eve, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Eve was what? Tempted by?
The serpent.
Okay, serpent. Satan. Okay. So, origin of sin, can we say the devil? 1 John 3:8, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. 1 John 3:8. John 3:8. For the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So would it be appropriate to say that basically the origin of sin was from the devil, from Satan? I looked up the idea of beginning in this verse, as sin from the beginning. And the idea The beginning was beginning origin, the person or thing that commences, the first person or thing in a series, the leader, that by which anything begins, to begin, to be, the origin, the accusative case. It just seems that that idea of that word from the beginning, it just, all the way back from the beginning, Satan was one of sin, had practiced sin. This 1 John 3:8 says that for the devil has sinned from the beginning. I get the idea of continuing to and being in that that case of. So in thinking of that just for a few minutes, what would we say Satan is? Satan is what?
The originator of sin.
Originator of sin. Okay, I kind of like that one. Was Satan created as Satan? And then thinking of Satan, when we think of Satan, what do we think of? You know, the little pitchfork and the pointy ears and all that kind of stuff, but what is it that represents when you think of that? Evil, sin, that which is opposed to God. So, was that created? You follow my question, Kenny? Was that created? Was that entity of sin, was that created? John.
In Genesis it says God created, and he says all is good. And so at first there was no sin, so sin hadn't been created yet. I mean, that was something that I guess Satan did. But like you said, in that beginning origin, it was the beginning of it, but it doesn't mean he was created that way, because God said everything was good.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts? So in the realm of what Satan is, what is Satan? Who is Satan? What is Satan? I mean, what do we have? Is Satan in any way like God? I got blank stares. Okay, that's good. That's good. What would you follow up your blank stare with? Mm-hmm. No. No. Satan isn't anywhere on the status or equivalent to God. How is Satan equivalent or in a relationship to man? Is Satan man? Oh, I got more blank stares. I got a no back there.
Satan's spirit and we're human.
What's that?
So we have a body and we have a soul, but Satan's spirit.
Okay. So Satan is what?
Like angels.
Like angels. Okay. Already? Okay, Larry, you had a thought?
Not really.
Okay, already.
Spiritual being of some
type. Okay, spiritual being of some type. I lost my verse. And okay, so Satan, would you all agree that Satan in some way or some form somehow is the originator of sin? I mean, that's kind of what we have. And that would not be a realm on earth, but that would be more of a spiritual being or spiritual. And when we think of that, maybe we would think of in the presence of God, like angels, angelic beings, or that type of thing. Would Satan be in a, would Satan be coexisting with God? Kenny?
Yeah, because he was cast out of heaven.
Okay, he was cast out. Okay, at what point was he cast out?
Ezekiel 28:14.
Okay. Says?
I don't know.
When you think about, okay, Satan and God, what do you have? What do we have, John? What do we have, Satan and God? Let's not, let's take, okay, just Satan and God, what do you have?
God created all. He created man, he created
okay.
angels.
So. God created all. Okay, let's put that aside for a sec. Satan and God. Satan and God. Chris?
You mean like a spiritual being? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, use a couple verses that he had. Psalms chapter 47:8, Isaiah 63:15, 1 Timothy 6:16. Revelation 21:27. All of these are, God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. Holy throne, holy throne. What do you picture, holy throne? God sits on his holy throne. Holy, set apart, God's throne. Isaiah 63:15. God looks down from heaven and sees from your holy and glorious lofty habitation. 1 Timothy 6:16. For alone, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light? Basically God. Revelation 21:27. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. And basically into the realm of heaven. Let's look at those last two, 1 Timothy. First Timothy 6:16. Who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see? To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light? The Father, God. Okay. Revelation 21:27. And nothing unclean, let's see, let's start verse 25. And in the daytime, for there shall be no light there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination or lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is this a description of? Verse 22, and I saw the temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple, and the city has no need for sun or moon or shine to shine upon it, for the glory of God it illuminates it, and its lamps is the Lamb of God. Heaven, God's home, God's throne, what are you not going to find there?
Evil.
Evil.
Habakkuk 2:13, you are of purer eyes, or 1:13, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness.
Okay. So again, my question of God and Satan, totally opposed, and Satan is not going to be in the presence of God at all. It's just not going to be. It's just no, no. And then there's a passage in Luke chapter 10. And he has this in our workbook. But Luke chapter 10 verse 18. And this is a dissertation by Christ when he's talking to the disciples and stuff in verse 18, and he says, and he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I was given to the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Again, a reference of Satan being cast out of heaven. So when did that happen? I think it's like 1 John 3:8. For the devil had been sinning from the beginning. As he did, he was cast out of heaven. And just no relationship, no interaction with God whatsoever. God dwells in holiness, a holy throne, glorious habitation. He cannot be approached by evil. Nothing unclean. Nothing unclean or anybody that practices anything as such will enter into the holy city. So any thoughts, any comments? There's another, a couple of other verses that kind of indicate a casting down of angelic beings in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. And if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world. So it sounds like a place in which those spiritual beings that sinned were cast into hell, committed into pits reserved for, I'm assuming for a final judgment where there will be a separation. Thoughts? Comments?
Well, in Job we have interaction between Satan and God.
Yes. Okay. We can hopefully get there in a little bit. Okay. So then, what was it that Satan did? And I don't know that we really know. In the book, he alludes to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul makes a statement when he's discussing the idea of elders. 1 Timothy 3:6. Chapter 3 starts with basically the idea of verse 1, what is a trustworthy statement for any man to aspire to be the office of overseer? It is a fine work he desires. An overseer then must be, and he goes down, da 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 da. And then in verse 6 he says, and not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation occurred by the devil. I think King James reads, falls in, he becomes prideful. So, we are not to become prideful, i.e. as the devil did, as Satan did, maybe alluding to what Satan was that he did. I don't know that we can know that, but there's that thought. Chris?
I'm just trying to put the picture together. And Satan, I don't know if you would call Satan, but eventually he became Satan, was an angel. He was never, you don't get the picture that he was ever at the same level as God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we read about, who have always existed. But you do get the picture that, based on these verses, and I'm saying this in a question form, it's not super clear, but I get the picture that Satan's always existed. He was just as an angel. He was just always there, just like God was there, but he wasn't at the level. He wasn't at that hierarchy level, whatever you want to say. But what's interesting is he sinned. We don't know what, but he did a no-no. Now he's labeled Satan, but he becomes the Father. He almost becomes the man on the sin, you know, on the evil side, because not like Second Peter, I think it was here. No, it's not here. But anyway, like I think John mentioned, that the place reserved for the devil and his angels. So now the devil is Satan. He used to be an angel, just like all the other angels, but now he sins, so he's cast out. But now he's the father of all the other angels on the evil side. Is that? I don't mean to be. I'm just trying to understand that picture. It's kind of interesting. I've never really thought about it that way.
Yes, and I kind of agree with your logic and the steps that you're going through either as well, because I don't know that I've really endeavored into Satan to kind of this in this way. Yes, he created being not on the level with God, more than that of man. Spiritual being, sin from the beginning, kind of, I guess you use the idea of father of sin or the originator of sin. And as I was going to get into a little bit later, but we have Peter talking about the roaring lion that seeks those to devour, which would be Satan. Larry mentioned Job and his desire to interact with him in that way. So I guess my conclusion would be a really evil individual. That you don't see the idea of repentance or that idea of trying to keep anybody else out of the situation that he's in. But this individual's trying to gather as many as he can to be in association with him. I guess misery loves company. Something to that effect. Yeah. Larry, did you have a thought?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, he's not eternal. He would have to be a created being because God is creator of all
things.
And there's no salvation that we know of for angels. There's no plan of redemption for those who sin.
Right.
In fact, it seems like from Peter and Jude that angels that sin, they get cast.
It's kind of an immediate judgment on their actions. And no, it doesn't seem like you said, no realm, no plan, no way for salvation or repentant attitude type of thing. John?
Back to that, I found a scripture that I was talking about earlier. It's in Genesis 1:31. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good.
It was very good.
So at first Satan was very good.
Right.
He created everything.
Right. Yeah. Satan's destiny, a couple verses, Matthew 25:41, and he will also say to those that depart from me, you accursed people, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. There is that realm that has been aside, set aside for them. And then in Revelations, there's some descriptive language in that. Towards the end of the book, Revelations, the end of 19 and 20, but then death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, it will be thrown into the lake of fire, along with that of Satan. So I guess all of that to say that the originator of sin would be Satan. He would be the one that basically, from the beginning, he had sinned. I don't know, it's just kind of a mental exercise of just picturing that type of thing as a angelic or a spiritual individual within the realm of God. What would make one desire to sin? I don't know. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to think about. Thoughts? Okay, so the origin of sin on earth. Who would you say is the original, who did? Okay, who originated sin on earth? I think you have a couple possibilities. I don't know, any stabs? It's just kind of something to think about. Chris?
Well, it's interesting that in the story, Satan was literally there, and Satan actually told us to reply.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Nowadays, we don't, you know, Satan's not really there talking to us, but in that picture, he's there. He's disguised as a serpent. But he lied. I mean, he lied.
Okay.
He said,
okay,
it won't kill you. You won't die.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if that's what you were looking at.
No, just Kenny.
Isaiah 13:11-15 kind of talks about it a little bit there.
What was that? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 14, I'm sorry. 11 through 15.
Isaiah 14:11. 11 through
12, 12 through 14, 12 through 15.
So Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of morning sun, O dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you say in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. And I will ascend above the heavens of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, this is the man who made the earth tremble and shook kingdoms. Okay.
I don't know if that helps or not.
This may be referring to the king of Babylon.
Yeah.
He's a man, verse 16. The man who made the earth tremble.
Verse 16, your gaze will ponder over you, saying, this is a man who made the trembling. Now, it could be a prophecy of that way. John?
If you go all the way back to 14:4, it tells you who this is speaking to. I mean, it is correlating, you know, kind of to Satan too. And a lot of people will use this where Satan was cast out, but it's not really talking about Satan. It's talking about King of Babylon. It tells you that in verse 4. But, you know, but there's other scriptures that talk just like that. It is talking about Satan. So,
all right.
And it's a big study on itself.
Yeah, and kind of in the reference book, he makes the comment of Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, where the primary reference is to the king of Babylon. However, there may be a secondary application to Satan. So, yeah. Yes.
So something that back up a little bit, because we've been talking about it in Colossians 1:16, we're talking about, you know, I've heard people refer to Satan being eternal like God, and I think that's something we need to study, because I think it's putting them on equal ground with God. But it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So that's God. I mean, that's all
right.
Everything is created.
That goes back to the creation. Who created? You know, we have in the beginning was the Word, talking in John, and all that coming from that passage in Colossians, talking about Christ being there at creation. But everything that was created was good, was proper, was right. If God in any way created anything to do with Satan or sin, then you could say that he would be the originator of sin. And that's just not the case. That just defies all logic and is just contradictory to that whole idea of God. So we don't want to think of Satan as being eternal. Satan will be eternal going forward, but not eternal as in has always been. Definitely a created being. We all good on that, Chris? Okay, Genesis 1 through 3 basically is the story of Genesis 3, 1 through 13. The story of the fall of man, of of the situation in which God's law was broken by Eve, by Adam, through the deceitful suggestions, I guess, of Satan. So I guess you would say this is the origin of sin on the earth. But who's responsible for it? I mean, would Eve have sinned without the interference of Satan? Would Adam have sinned without the suggestion from Eve? Who is going to have to take responsibility for that occurred?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Okay. Have to take responsibility for their actions. Any thoughts? anything on this particular story that stands out to you that we need to bring out and look at? I think some of this stuff we're all going to get a little bit later as we go through, but as you read down here, the God has said, "You shall not eat of the tree in the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. From the fruits of the trees in the garden we eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. For God knows that on that day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God." Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eye and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took some of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. That whole picture, that whole idea of how was it that fruit became desirable? What's that?
Lust of the eyes, pride of life, that stuff.
Yeah.
It was desirable to her. She saw it and give her knowledge.
Yeah.
The same things we do right now today, and the things that we get tempted by is the exact same things, the same kind of reference that Satan used then that he does now.
Satan did what?
He does the same thing then that he does now. I mean, exact same things, the temptations and stuff that we have now is the same things that they had then.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Down towards the end, God comes into the garden and he says, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Again, that idea of becoming wiser, all-knowing, or wisdom. "Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Again, I guess you take the serpent out of it, and would there have been that sin? I don't know. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But is that the temptation and the desires that Satan puts in front of us? Satan's approach: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what he used. The lust of the flesh, what was it that Eve saw? The lust of the flesh. She saw the tree was good for food. Lust of the eye, it was pleasant to the eye. And the pride of life was what?
Well, the devil said they become like God.
Become like God, make one wise. We'll get into this a little bit more a little bit later, but the three steps in man's fall, and he has a little, kind of just a little chart here. Man heard a lie, man believed a lie, and man obeyed the lie. Again, being deceived by Satan. Is this an approach that Satan uses? Is this approach that Satan uses? Satan used the same thing when he was tempting Christ, Matthew chapter 4. lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Tempting Satan, or tempting Christ by Satan in that same way. John?
I've always had a problem with this, that, you know, people blaming everything on Satan. You know, Satan did this, Satan did that. You just ask, would Adam and Eve done that without Satan there? I mean, do we really think that Satan tempts us on everything, that everything we see out there, is that Satan tempting us, or is that just us living on this earth and we're seeing things and it's us being tempted? It has nothing to do with Satan tempting us with these things that are on earth. It's just, is that, my question is, yeah, I'm not saying one way or the other, I'm just saying, can we blame Satan on everything, or do we have to take responsibility and say, you know, I'm the one that's lusting after that car going down the road, like, oh, I want that car, is that anything to do with Satan, or is that us?
Is that us? I was kind of looking for a little clip that I was going to use, but I don't know if you remember back a few years ago, the comedian Flip Wilson was like, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Is the devil real? And do we have to be concerned of the actions that he takes? How was it that Satan, the devil, tempted Christ? First John chapter 2. First John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world, for the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. So this in John, it says that the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. It's from our surroundings. It's from what we live in. Is that what he's saying? Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before trembling. I want to put this verse up. We're out of time. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Is that real? Is that real? I mean, is Peter warning us about what we just read in John about the pride of the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eye, the pride of life that's in the world. Is Peter warning us about that and says that it's what? About the lion, about the devil. And I don't know, maybe we'll start with this next week. But the idea of Job 6-22, chapter 2, 1-7, 10, what was Job tempted by? Something to think about. This last part. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, and like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Something to think about. We just studied in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit. Take the fruit of the Spirit that we studied this last summer or so, and take it back to Eve, and take it back to the situation in the garden. And if she was practicing those, and if Adam was practicing those, could they have resisted the temptation that the devil put in front of them? Is that something that would be would you be able to, would they have been able to in a situation like that? Can you resist if we practice the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, any thoughts? Chris?
I was thinking about John Flapp comment, and in, you know, the scripture says that we're going to be judged for the actions that we've made, things that we've done, and even when someone else causes us to stumble, I mean, as far as we're concerned, if we stumble, it's our fault. We can't blame anybody, even though someone may have honestly caused us to sin. But we are still responsible for the sin that we committed. And so we can't. They're also going to have to deal with that,
right,
too.
Right.
But, I mean, Satan's already condemned.
But if we know, if we're aware of how sin is out there and how it's going to tempt us, hopefully that would make us better able to resist and walk free of that sin already. Okay, thank you.